This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
The Movie Game with Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode on 5 Live.
Yes, hello, happy Christmas, and a very warm welcome to The Movie Game here on 5 Live. It's a film quiz about all things celluloid. If you're looking for a Christmas game or two, there's no need to persuade the relatives to play charades. Just stay with us for the next hour. Dr. Mark Kermode is here. He's going to be helping us with the proceedings or detracting from the proceedings the way he likes to do. Very disconcertingly, he's bought a bag of musical instruments.
They are to widen the musical appeal of the programme, Simon.
What have you brought in your bag?
I've brought...
Not your double bass, surely.
Thank you. No, not the double bass. I've brought the ukulele, which is the poor man's double bass. I've brought the harmonica, which is the poor man's ukulele. And most importantly, I've brought the bagpipes.
Now, my cast of contestants here with party hats, popcorn and buzzers at the ready. First is Team Grinch. Team Grinch has in it comedian Sean Locke. He's the captain. Did you know you were captain, by the way?
No, I didn't know. I assumed that I normally take that kind of role.
We are reliably informed that Sean first fell in love with movies in front of late-night art films on BBC Two, and he will promise to tell us why later. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can I just ask, although it is later, when you say late-night art films on BBC Two, do you basically mean films that are rude after the 11 o'clock watershed?
What? I thought we were going to talk about this later.
Fine, it means yes, that's fine. Just so I know.
We're going to talk about it later.
Later.
Joining him on Team Grinch, current darling of the indie film scene, that's Dev Patel. Oh, it's that Dev. That's who it is, who first came onto our small screens in Skins, of course, on Channel 4, but he's big news at the moment for his starring role in the fantastic Slumdog Millionaire new movie from Danny Boyle. How you doing, Dev?
I'm great, thanks.
So, a lot of good Oscar nomination talk for your movie, which is very good. Nominated for 4 Golden Globes and picked up prizes at the British Independent Film Awards. It's been a good year.
It has.
Could you demonstrate your buzzer noise, please, for Team Grinch? Thank you. On the other side of our enormous table here in this enormous studio, it's Team Bad Santas, headed up by acclaimed comedian Richard Herring. You're kind of...
You're kind of the captain, actually.
Wow. Extra responsibility for discussing...
More money.
Richard's favourite Christmas movie is The Great Escape, and he admits that Richard Curtis films make him cry. What would you normally be doing of a Christmas afternoon, Richard?
I'd just be very bloated and drunk, lying on a sofa like a beached whale.
Joining Richard is actor Eddie Marsan. Eddie is the man who put a bomb up Tom Cruise's nose in Mission Impossible 3, was hanged by Timothy Spall in Pierpoint. He sailed with Colin Farrell to the New World, was tricked by Ed Norton in The Illusionist, stole the small screen as Panks in Little Dorrit, and has just won a British Independent Film Award for his role as that. For that quite extraordinary driving instructor, Scott, in Happy Go Lucky, and is the only man around this table who has put on his Christmas hat. Hello, Eddie.
Hello.
What would you normally be doing of a Christmas afternoon?
My head's very big. Usually around about this time, I'm trying to tell my dad, who's probably had a few too many, to have a fag by the back door, not at the table, and stop swearing around the grandchildren.
Does he make, he makes a particular point of swearing around the grandchildren, doesn't he?
Yeah, he thinks it's an education for them. He thinks it's very healthy for
them
to express themselves.
They have to learn. How are they 4 years old, though?
Well, he has this theory that people who don't swear keep a lot of things in their subconscious, and it's very unhealthy for them. And I keep saying, yeah, but at the age of 3, you don't have much in your subconscious.
Of course, you've got the hat, just occurred to me, because you're the Bad Santa team, so hence you've got the Santa hats.
Yeah.
And your buzzer sounds like this. So now the first round is Guess the Movie Soundtrack. Sadly, our budget wouldn't stretch to a full orchestra, so instead we have the talented and occasionally versatile Dr. Kermode on the aforementioned instruments, specifically ukulele and bagpipes.
Yes.
In this particular round. Mark is going to play a piece of music from a famous film. Teams, your task is to name the movie, 1 point for the title and extra points for entertainment value and naming the composer. If you don't get it, it will be passed to the other team. First up, Team Grinch is Sean and Dev. See if you recognise this movie theme.
Okay, here we go.
Is it when I'm cleaning windows?
Usually.
No, that's...
Oh, Mr. Woo, what shall I do?
No, that's Mr. Woo.
Right.
It's The Godfather.
It is The Godfather.
Yes. Well done.
No, it is. Tell us more about the music.
No, well, if that's The Godfather, it's the famous theme from The Godfather. The Godfather was nominated for its score for an Academy Award. And then the nomination was withdrawn because it turned out that Nina Rota had used the music before in a film called Fortunella. So it's one of the very rare instances
of
the film being officially nominated and then unnominated.
That's enough. Right.
Had he played it on the ukulele, he could legitimately have claimed that it wasn't the same piece of music.
That's enough.
Okay. So the point's absolutely right for The Godfather. And what's next? Oh, it's bagpipe time, everyone.
Yes. Okay. Now, this is slightly harder. Some of them are easy. Some of them are slightly harder.
All right. Could be anything.
Da-da-da! All right,
Jaws.
It's enough.
Yay!
I've got it.
That
did that sound like
Jaws? Yeah, just that bit.
Okay.
It's the John Williams score, won the Oscar for Best Original Score. Jaws was absolutely right for the points. Now it's time for our Bad Santas to have a go. Richard and Eddie, your mystery movie soundtracks.
Hang on.
Fiction.
There we go.
Very good. Yeah. Very
You're better on the ukulele, I have to tell you. That's my.
So that's absolutely right. It was a fantastic ukulele performance from Pulp Fiction. Dick Dale doing the original.
Yes.
Okay. So the points for that. Now one more then for our Bad Santas. What's next? It's the mouth organ. Very good.
It's Close Encounters.
There we go.
The third kind.
You see?
Very
the
good.
Uncanny resemblance that of that to an incredibly large orchestra.
This is like X Factor for homeless bus guys, isn't it?
That's good. The end of our exciting soundtrack round. Mark, can you give us the scores, please?
It's 2-2.
Very good. I think people worked that one out for themselves, but 2-2. As we move into our nail-biting Christmas round, time for a round of questions about Christmas at the movies. This is a round where you buzz if you know the answer, so time to put whatever it is. Oh, no, they've all got their buzzers in their hands. Here we go.
Right.
It's a Wonderful Life was the first film to make snow using firefighting foam, soap and water. What did filmmakers use to make snow before that? Richard.
Snow. No.
Polystyrene.
Eddie, polystyrene? No, that's not right either. Sean.
Frosties.
Well, do you want to expand on Frosties?
Frosties covered in snow, made of ice. Basically snowflakes.
Yes, well, I think
yeah,
we can...
well, what would you have if you had a Frosty? Sugar. If a Frosty without the frost?
Cornflake.
But a cornflake, but was painted white.
Well, that's a Frosty, but by any other name, isn't it?
You were totally joking, though.
Yes, I was.
Cornflakes were so loud, dialogue had to be dubbed in later. Apparently, Frank Capra wanted to record the sound live, so he developed this new snow effect.
Right,
but you're absolutely right for a little point there. Yeah. How many Christmases are Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn going to spend, Richard?
Four.
Yeah. You like that film, don't you, Mark?
It's a stinking pile of donkey's droppings, and I'm sort of ashamed that you should even know that.
I'm going to definitely see it now.
Which Christmas film from 2000 bore the tagline, "He puts the mean in green"? Dev.
Grinch?
Yeah, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh,
Team Grinch.
Absolutely right. Which 1996 festive movie starred the 38th Governor of California? Sean.
So Elves and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Something Elves?
Something with Elves. Loads of Elves. Me and the Little Elves.
Richard?
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way is what I wanted.
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way is very, very interesting because it's Arnold who has to buy a Turbo Man, but the Turbo Man have all been sold out. And so it's a crassly commercial movie about the crass commercialisation of Christmas, which in a way is strangely postmodern.
One to miss again, then. Which classic Christmas movie made in 1947 starring Edmund Gwenn was remade in 1994? Richard?
Miracle on 32nd Street. 4th Street.
Well done. Nice save. Miracle on 32nd Street was the prequel, presumably.
Yes. It was Richard Attenborough was what I was going to... But nicely interrupted, Richard. A Miracle on 34th Street is absolutely right.
And I think there is an argument for saying that Richard Attenborough's version of Kris Kringle is actually the best of all of them. Don't you think he's the best Father Christmas in the movies?
I watched that the other day and it took a long time to get to the interesting bit, but he was very good.
Who sang Walking in the Air in the original film version of The Snowman in 1982?
Alan Jones.
Richard?
Alan Jones.
Sorry, it was my Richard Light came on. It was Eddie Press, was it?
I just played the writer of that. The artist who drew that.
Who's that then?
What's his name?
Raymond Briggs.
Raymond Briggs.
I played Raymond Briggs.
No, I didn't. I got a phone. Jim Broadbent plays Raymond Briggs' father.
Right.
And I play Raymond Briggs, and it's a cartoon of his parents.
of him.
Oh, Dethel and Joe, was it? Is it the one about the nuclear?
No. It's him. He's all the artwork, like the snowman and Father Christmas. He's done a story of him, and Brenda Breathin plays his mum, and I play him, and it's from his birth in 1928 up to when they die.
Can I tell you the shocking news is you might have played him, but that's not the right answer.
Alan Jones isn't the right answer.
There was
another one before.
David Bowie.
No, it wasn't. Should we? Anybody
is
know
it,
who?
Is it a singer?
It is a singer.
Another little boy. It's a boy you won't know the name of. It's not famous.
Is he famous?
He's famous for being the guy who sang Walking in the Snow in the first version.
I'm walking in the snow.
It's got Walking in the Air anyway, isn't it?
Walking in the Air, yes.
It's got Walking in the Air. It's Alan Jones.
The answer is Peter Orty.
Yeah, we knew that.
In
1982. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Okay, final question in this round. Michael Caine played Ebenezer Scrooge in which movie? That's Richard.
Muppet Christmas Carol.
What a fine film.
Very good
Muppet
film.
Christmas Carol is right. That's the end of the round. The scores from Dr. Kermode.
I'll let everyone else have a go now.
The Bad Santas have stormed into the lead with 6 points and Team Grinch lagging behind badly with 4.
Now, for this round, it's called the prop round. That's because it's got lots of props in it. Mark is going to reach deep into his Christmas treasure chest and present the teams with some quite spectacular film props. Our teams have to guess which film the prop is from. It's an extraordinary 2 points if you get the film right. Mark will award extra points for information of interest related to the movie or prop. So, the first item, could we unveil that, please, to the Bad Santas? This is a Bad Santa question. Mm. Richard and Eddie, describe what we're looking at here.
It's a 5,000 Cinquemilla euros. They're from the Vatican Bank for 5,000 euros and 10,000 euros.
It is a bond.
Do you know what film that's from?
Mission Impossible.
No, good guess. Try again. What other film involved and indeed annoyed the Vatican in the fairly recent past?
Oh, it's that terrible film with Tom Hanks.
The Da Vinci Code.
Congratulations. Well done, The Da Vinci Code.
They are the actual Vatican bonds used in The Da Vinci Code.
My friend plays Jesus Christ in it. That's all I know about it.
That's very good, and I'm sure that's worth extra points, though Mark will obviously be the judge of that. So, second item. This is for Team Grinch, and Mark is going to...
Now, I should say that the second item has a health and safety warning with it.
Right. Don't wave it about.
Don't wave it about. This is the actual prop from the actual movie, as is that, and it is an actual... Don't wave it about.
OK. That's enough usage of the word actual.
Don't tell Sean Locke not to wave something about.
Dev, hand it to Dev. Do you want to describe it?
An axe. A very big axe and a very heavy axe.
How big is it? How long is it?
I don't know.
It's about a metre
long.
A metre long.
Yeah.
A bit rusty. How many films have axes in them?
Well, there's one in particular I can think of.
Would you like a musical clue?
The Shining.
You don't need a musical clue.
No.
The Shining is absolutely right. Yeah. That is the
axe. That is genuinely the axe. No, that is genuinely the axe.
Let's hear the music
from The Shining.
How about that?
Can I kiss it?
Can you kiss it? What do you want to draw?
You're more than
welcome.
Is it your collection?
No, it's not Michael. No, that's owned by a collector.
Did a man down the market tell you?
It's the axe from the Shining.
Barry Dev has been caressing this
axe.
Dev, you're not supposed to hold it by the blade.
Yeah, sorry. It's funny you've given the only 18-year-old and the most irresponsible person in the room.
Young people aren't meant to have sharp implements.
Yes.
If you could put that to Simon Mayo's head, imagine the publicity for the show.
Apparently worth £20,000, that axe. No, really.
Nice one, Sean.
OK, it's a hard act to follow. Can we have the next prop, please? This is for the Bad Santas. And it's Eddie Marsden. You want to describe that, Eddie? What have you got?
It's a pair of glasses that Michael Caine would wear in a film, I believe. There's no glass in them. It could be Austin Powers.
Very good. Absolutely right. No. Austin Powers. You didn't need this musical clue, but it might put us in the mood. It's kind of a gold member thing.
Oh, it's a gold member. Yeah, I thought.
Very good. Hand it to Richard. Put them on, Richard.
They're Calvin Klein.
Made in Italy.
They cost thousands and thousands as well.
Do they?
Eddie was exactly right. To have gone in with Michael Caine is exactly right because it was, of course, Caine who inspired those glasses in the first place. And so that was, in fact,
I should have given you the point.
I think an extra point in that case, shall we? Yes. Because you're never going to get the next prop, so you're going to have 2 points for that because going to get the next one.
Last prop then. Very good, Eddie. Oh. I didn't spot your genius early enough.
Okay.
Is this for us or for...
This is for us, isn't it?
For you.
It's for the Grinches.
There we go.
Sean and Dev.
You had to... Yes, you have.
Sean, do you want to describe this one?
It's a yellow nautical sort of sack. Well, this is obviously the one that was used in... Oh, blimey, We're at Sea.
That one.
And they're all in a life raft.
Who was in that one?
No, this is obviously from Titanic.
Titanic, yeah.
No.
No way. No?
No, good choice, but no, not Titanic.
Is it what? From...
It's either the Tom Hanks one or the James Bond one where he's copping off with the woman. Castaway. Well,
it is actually the life raft bag from Castaway. Many thanks to the Prop Store of London for lending us the original film props from their large collection of memorabilia.
I bet they don't get much call for that one, though, do they? The Castaway one. Have you got one of the... batch of bags from Castaway. Which could we just have it?
Give us the scores at the end of that round, please, good doctor.
With my slightly esoteric scoring system, I make it Team Grinch 7, Bad Santa's 10, including bonus points.
Yeah.
You're listening to 5 Live. This is the movie game, and it's time for team members to go it alone for the specialist round. First under the spotlight is Richard Herring, setting the example for everybody else. Your specialist subject is This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Just explain why.
It's very funny. That's the real reason. It's a film you can watch it again and again. But it's very much it's about a band being on tour. We were comedians on tour, but it does, as many bands say, I think, as comedians, though, a lot of the stuff seems to happen.
What would be your favourite films, Richard?
My favourite films.
Yeah.
Well, this is Spinal Tap. I think it's the best comedy film. And I'm sort of into Woody Allen Manhattan and Annie Hall. I like
it. And we mentioned earlier Richard Curtis movies make you cry.
Well, I was asked what, if anything, Cinema Paradiso is the film that really makes me cry, which is an excellent film. But I'm ashamed to say that sometimes I think I watch Love Actually, which I don't think is a very good film, but it's still kind of it presses all the buttons.
Yeah. So if Mark cries in everything.
If you're watching it in a slightly vulnerable state of mind, it can get you. With all its love and I hate love, but when you like love, it can get you and make you cry a bit.
So you hate love,
yeah.
But if you like love,
yeah, I'm like
it'll
the Grinch.
Make you cry.
I want to be loved, really. But...
Right, so your minute is about to start. We're going to have loads of questions about Spinal Tap.
Ready to go? Okay.
Your minute starts now. This is... This is Spinal Tap. I don't know what that was. This is Spinal Tap is directed by Rob Reiner. What is the name of the character Rob plays in the film?
Marty DeBerge.
And what is his role?
The director of the film.
Yeah, that's right. In the movie, Billy Crystal plays Morty the Mime. Who is the mime waiter who played opposite him and who went on to be a famous actor in his own right?
It's Dana Carvey.
Well done.
Yes, that's right. Went on to play...
Garth,
that's right. David St. Hubbins was named after a saint. What was St. Hubbins the patron saint of?
Quality footwear.
Good.
In This is Spinal Tap, we see the band play Gimme Some Money. Who's the drummer?
It's Ed Begley Jr. playing, I can't remember.
John Stumpy Peeps. Died in a bizarre unexplained gardening accident. Yeah. What is the name of Spinal Tap's record company and name the head of the company?
It's played by Steed. Oh, I've run out of time.
You can answer it. Though.
The head of the company is... Nah, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get the name of the company. But it's played
the name
by
of the record company...
Patrick Minnie.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yes, Patrick Minnie. Sir Dennis Eaton Hogg is his name, and it's Polymer Records.
Polymer Records.
Should have watched it again. Didn't realise it would be that tough.
How many did he score, Mark, at the
end
of that?
Well, their total score at the moment is 11.
Yeah, but how many did he get in that round?
4.
Instant maths. next to go it alone, it's Dev Patel from the opposing team. So, now you have got a fantastic round. I don't think you're going to struggle. Very much.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Because your specialist round is your latest movie.
Yes.
This is clearly a cheap promotional device. Yes. Slumdog Millionaire, which I've seen and is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It's just brilliant. Let's play a clip. Here's a little bit from Slumdog Millionaire.
Who invented the revolver?
Samuel Colt.
Final answer.
Final answer.
I was right. The Chiawala has done it again.
I think a lot of people would think, well, it's a whole movie based around Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's a kind of a strange idea. Just explain in two sentences how it gets to be made into a whole movie. And what are you doing there?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is, I guess, just a skeleton. This kid from the slums called Jamal Malik goes onto this game show and he sort of hijacks it. And the reason is he's lost his soulmate at a very young age. And it's the most watched show in India. And he figures maybe if I can sort of get on this show and stay on it as long as possible, she might see me one day.
And that's it. That is your specialist subject. 1 point for each correct answer. Your minute starts now.
Here we go.
Who won the most promising newcomer in the Independent British Film Awards?
Me.
Yes, definitely.
Yay!
In the film, your character as a child pretends to be a guide at the Taj Mahal to make money. How does he explain how Mumtaz Mahal dies?
Road traffic accident. Hey. Maximum pileup.
How did she really die?
Natural causes.
In childbirth.
That's natural causes.
I'm afraid we can't accept that.
No?
I don't need it anymore because luck comes from within is the last line of what book?
I don't know.
Vicar Swarup's novel Q&A Slumdog Millionaires based on the story. In what year was Bombay renamed Mumbai? 1996. Who presents I Want to Be a Millionaire in India?
Amitabh Bachchan, followed by his predecessor, Shah Rukh Khan.
We'll give you that. Alaraknaraman composed the music for Slumdog Millionaire, but which hit London musical did he write in 2002?
Oh, was it?
Yes, it was.
Bombay Dream.
Well, he's entirely right.
Well Bombay Dream. Yeah, it's very good. It's going to be tough for you, though, some of those questions.
I noticed when the answer wasn't you that you struggled.
Yeah, that's it.
Is it me?
Well, media trends.
What did he get there, Mark?
Well, on the specialist subject of himself, he got exactly the same number of points as Richard got on to Final Tap. So that was 4 points. That takes them up to 11. 11 plays 14 at the moment.
OK, we'll do some more specialist rounds later. So let's do a Christmas stocking round. We'll do one now and one later. We're going to do Sean and Dev's Christmas stocking, first of all. But then Mark is going to decide. We're going to ask you some questions about what's in the stocking. Then Mark will decide whether you deserve to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
OK? So, Sean, do you want to open with Dev, your Christmas stocking?
Dev to his young lad. It's close to Christmas. Probably means a lot more to him than...
What's in here?
He's still thrilled about getting 4 points in a roundabout himself. Yeah.
It's Casino Royale.
So you have to answer questions to keep the DVD. Question number one, why isn't Vespa Lind James Bond's type? Why isn't Vespa Lind James Bond's type, according to the movie?
I unfortunately haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either. Is it because she's not...
young enough. Because James Bond's like really young women.
No, she's not old. She's not an old man.
No.
He doesn't... he sticks to form. She's not his type. Maybe she doesn't. Does she not drink?
No, it's because she's single.
Nice way to say
James Bond.
Clever, though.
Okay, onto the film. Here's a famous scene for you.
Cut back on the dialogue, but that is ridiculous.
It's the car chase. You might have spotted that from Casino Royale, in which Daniel Craig swerves to avoid running over love interest Vespa Lind, flips his Aston Martin. How many cars were destroyed for the sequence? And for a bonus point, approximately, how much were they worth? So, how many cars destroyed for that, and how much were they worth? You might as well have a wild guess.
Yeah.
Five.
Nope.
Four. Three.
Three is right.
Very good.
Well, three cars destroyed in one afternoon shooting, and they were valued at what, do you think, in total?
In total?
Yeah. Think of the number associated with your movie and then reduce it by 100,000, Dev.
$1 million.
Yeah.
$900,000.
$900,000 in total is right.
It's Christmas. I don't mind. So I think it's good that you're giving us the answers.
Thank you. Yeah. Casino Royale sees Bond achieving 00 status. How many kills are required before an agent can achieve that particular landmark?
One.
100.
Million. I think it's two.
I think it is two. Absolutely right. Daniel Craig is only the second Englishman to play Bond after Roger Moore. Can you name the nationalities of the other Bonds? Good question.
Pierce Brosnan's Irish.
Yep.
So anyway, what are the other ones? George Lazenby's American.
Nope.
Australian.
Well done.
Sean Connery's Scottish, obviously.
And Timothy Dalton. And
Timothy Dalton is, I think he's, is he?
Born in?
India. He might be from colonial background. Ireland.
Go on, keep going.
Ireland.
Wales.
Iceland.
He was born in Wales. Mark, can Sean and Dev keep
Casino Royale on DVD.
I think, sadly, that they can.
Okay. You can have that, Deb. Because I'll never get to watch it.
Well, that's an entertaining close to part one. This is Five Live. We're playing the movie game. Mark Kermode is the judging committee, and he's playing occasional instruments. He's also keeping score. What's the score at the moment?
Team Grinch, part one? Team Grinch lagging behind on 11. Bad Santa's 14.
Mark, just give people something to think about before we come back with part two. We've got another soundtrack for us to guess before we go on. Just play us something rather memorable, please. Oh, how predictable. Nice.
All right, that's all you're going to get in that case, if it's predictable.
Good, that's all we need. We'll give you the answer as to precisely what that was in a few moments' time.
The Movie Game with Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode on Five Live.
Yes, welcome back to part two of The Movie Game, joined in order of appearance by comedian Sean Locke, who has a DVD out, which is particularly fine if you're looking for something to spend some Christmas money on. How good is it? How good is it?
It's very, very good.
Slumdog Millionaire, Dev Patel, go see that movie as soon as it comes out because it's going to be one of the films of the year. Spinal Tap fan Richard Herring is here. What have you got to sell, Richard?
I've got a DVD and a book, but you can only get them from a secret internet site, and I'm not going to tell you what it is.
OK, thank you. And the omnipresent Eddie Marsden, I'm just going to turn to Mark for verification of this. If Eddie is in it, you have to see it. He's one of those actors, you have to see it if he's in it.
There's no such thing as a bad Eddie Marsden movie. We were just talking in that brief break when I bumped into Eddie on Oxford Street some years ago. I said, I think you're brilliant! And I've stood by that ever since.
Now, just before the news and sport, there you were playing a little tune on your ukulele. It was cunningly disguised.
Do you want to hear it again?
Not really, but go on. Anyone want to have a go at that?
Exorcist.
Well done.
Yeah. Tubular Bells, as played. If only Mike Oldfield had known what it could really have sounded like. We're going to do a film location round. To celebrate locations in movies, we've chosen famous film scenes and tracked down people who live or work actually in these locations. Our teams have 90 seconds to guess the film by asking our local heroes a series of yes or no questions. Dev and Sean are going to go first. I think we have our first local hero on the line. Hello, are you there?
Well, my name is Robert.
Hello, Robert. Right, OK, you're through. You're on The Movie Game. And Dev and Sean, you've got 90 seconds to work out why this is a very key person in a very key place.
Hello, Robert.
Where are you?
No, it's a yes or no question. That's what you have to do.
All right, OK.
Are you in England?
No.
Are you in a park?
No.
We're going to be a long time narrowing it down.
So we know they're not in a park.
Are you in a garden centre? I can't even hear him anyway.
Listening to his accent may give you a clue as to which country he's in.
Oh, good idea. Robert?
Yes?
Ask him if he's in America.
Are you in America?
We have a team. This doesn't work. We have to do it one at a time. You ask a question, I ask it. Let's start again. You go first, Deb.
You can start again if you like. Your time's ticking away.
Are you in America, Robert?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Are you on the East Coast? Yes. Are you in New York?
Yes.
Now I can say, are you in a park?
No.
He's not in a park.
I didn't hear him the first time.
It doesn't matter how many times you ask him, he's not in a park.
I thought, because a lot of movies are in Central Park.
So we know he's in New York. And are you in Fort Apache in the Bronx?
You have to say no.
Are you indoors?
Yes.
Is your location to do with like a Woody Allen film?
No.
Although it's a film that may be considered Woody Allen-esque, and let me give you a clue here: it's an eatery.
Are you in a restaurant?
He said yes.
Sorry. Is it from a gangster film?
No, it's a Woody Allen-esque film, and he didn't do many gangster films except for Bullets Over Broadway, of course. Shall I give you another clue?
Yes, please.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, Sexy Beast.
No.
Right, this is a yes... Right, OK, let's go for a yes-no question to our mate Rob here.
Is it something... Is it the restaurant with Meg Ryan and her orgasm with, I don't know, Alfie Pickles could be, I don't know. When Harry Met Sally.
Very good.
So on the line, this is Rob Albanese, the manager of the Cat's Delicatessen. Whereabouts is that, Rob?
It's on the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
So is there a little plaque on the wall or something so that people can come in and reenact that moment?
We have a sign that hangs right over the table itself.
Can I just say that I have actually been to Katz's Deli. I have sat at that table and I have banged the table and said yes, yes, yes.
Oh, so that was you.
It was me, yes.
What an appalling thought that would have been. Were you the manager when they shot it, Rob?
Yes, actually I've been working here for 32 years and the film was filmed about 20 years ago.
It's been fantastic talking to you. Wish you happy Christmas and thanks very much indeed for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Rob. Sorry.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rob Albinder.
Enjoy the park.
Definitely not in a park.
He's the manager of Katz Delicatessen, East Houston Street in New York.
He should be a copper.
Where they did that famous scene from When Harry Met Sally. Everyone just carry on. Now, next up, we have a location for Richard and Eddie with a mystery caller on the line. Hello, mystery caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
What is your name, mystery caller?
My name's Sarah.
OK. 90 seconds-ish, you know, give or take a half an hour or so. Off you go.
Are you in a pub?
Yes.
Oh, good.
OK. Are you in England?
England, yes.
Northern England?
No.
Are you in the pub that's in an American Werewolf in London, The Slaughtered Lamb?
Yes.
There you go.
How about that?
That's
what I was going to say. Sorry, you're so much easier.
It is The Slaughtered Lamb. Just explain where you are then, Sarah.
We're in a village called Ockham in Surrey.
And it's The Slaughtered Lamb, but you're actually the Black Swan.
It is the Black Swan, yeah.
Okay, now, is there a plaque? How do people know that this is where it was shot?
There is no plaque. It's not hugely common knowledge, actually.
Is there actually a werewolf in Ockham?
There's not a werewolf, but there is a dog in the bar.
Is there?
Are you having a few drinks?
Sarah, thanks very much indeed for joining us. Happy Christmas to you.
You too. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Sarah, who's not really from The Slaughtered Lamb, but is actually from The Black Swan.
So we've got, easy,
that's the end of the Where Am I Round? The scores from Dr. Mark.
Well, it was 1 point to Team Grinch, 2 points to the Bad Santas, so that makes the scores 12, plays 16.
Mm. It's a Christmas stocking round. We'll give it to our other team. We're going to give it to Richard and Eddie. If you have a look in there, find out what's in it, then we can find out whether you deserve to keep it.
It's Mamma Mia the movie. I'm going to deliberately try and get this. Well, my mum and dad love this. I could give it to them.
Have you not got them anything then?
I've already gotten something, but I'll just give this to them as an extra.
He's taken a
price. It's $14.99. The price is still on it. That's rude.
Can I just say, despite what you might think about that, and it is absolutely terrible, it's so terrible, it's brilliant. And there is a point when you're watching it, when suddenly all normal value judgments cease to exist, and suddenly you kind of go all pink and start loving the world more. It's an extraordinary thing, but it's like, free fall. Until you've done it, you don't know.
It contains mild language and sexual references, though.
It does.
So be careful. Parental guidance.
Right, here we go. Here's a clip from the film.
No, sweet. Oh, God. I'm just whining, you know. Made you. I don't need to be taken care of.
Yeah, but are you being taken care of?
What do you mean?
Are you getting any? I mean...
Down boy.
That was Meryl Streep, Julie Walters and Christine Baranski. Now, in the UK, Mamma Mia has grossed nearly £70 million. Does this make it A, the highest grossing British film of all time at the UK box office, B, the second highest grossing British film of all time, or the fifth highest grossing film, Eddie and Richard?
£70 million.
The first highest. The top highest British film, did you
say?
Yeah. Top highest British
film. It is the highest grossing British film of all time. You're absolutely right for the points. Amanda Seyfried, who plays Sophie, was in which film with Lindsay Lohan from 2004?
She was in Mean Girls. I just watched it last night.
Well done.
What do you think?
I saw the second half of it last night. It was like girls being mean to each other. It says what it does on the title.
Which of these ABBA hits, this is question number five, which of these ABBA hits did not make the film? Is it A, Fernando, B, Voulez-Vous, or C, I Have a Dream?
You'd think Fernando, wouldn't you, if that's the least easy to get in, although it's
no, I think it's I Have a Dream.
I'll go with you.
Well, you're wrong.
Seen the film.
You're wrong. Right. It's Fernando.
It's Fernando.
So the only question there is, do they get to keep the DVD?
I think they do, because I think that was exceptionally well done, and the Fernando question was an easy one to drop. So, yes, they do get to keep the DVD. And also because you should enjoy it and embrace it, because Mamma Mia is a wonderful thing in a strange and twisted way.
Eddie's saying, no, you have it. Richard's saying, no, you have it.
Let's see what the next one is.
Why don't you make everyone happy and chop it in half?
We've got an axe somewhere.
Yes. I'll come through it like The Shining, yes.
No, health and safety, can't swing it. You're not allowed to swing it. OK, it's another specialist round. It's going to be Sean Locke to go next. Your specialist subject is This is very interesting. Dursu Uzala by Akira Kurosawa.
Yeah, but I changed my mind because Dev did his film. Can I do my DVD? Sean Locke Live.
So we could do that, or we could talk about
Kurosawa. Let's talk about Dursu Uzala. I was only joking. Right. Just having a bit of fun.
No, absolutely.
I'm a bit of a character, you'll probably realise that.
Dursu Uzala translates as...
Don't know.
Dursu the Hunter.
Yes.
Do you want to explain why this is... I haven't seen it.
Well, it's a great film. It's one of my favourite films, and I like it because of its obscurity. And when people ask you what your favourite film is, I always say this film. I go, Dursu Uzala, because I know they won't have heard of it. Most people won't have heard of it. And it's a great, very beautiful film. It's not impenetrable. It's not particularly esoteric at all. It's not like a complex European art film, really. But it's just about a hunt. It's about a military survey of a part of Siberia at the turn of the century. And this guy's relationship with a hunter, very charming, Goldie Hunter. And it's just a beautiful film.
I'd like to have had that as a present.
Yeah.
Now you've talked me into it because I haven't
seen it. Go and get it. It's an amazing film. And there's one scene in it, it's just, you can't work out how he's filmed it because it's nighttime, but it's a black sky and then there's a red sun into some strange Siberian, and it's a sun, it's not like the Aurora Borealis, some strange Siberian phenomenon, and it is just the most beautiful and amazing film, and very touching film as well. I'll make you, you get a little tear in your eye.
Well, let's see how much you know about it.
I'm sure Mark knows it.
No, I mean, I know it. I have to confess, I haven't seen Dutch Reserve. I've seen lots of Kurosawa, but I haven't seen that. No.
It's amazing. It's an amazing film.
Well, we've got some questions on this and some questions on Kurosawa, so let's see where we go, shall we?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Strange noise. In which year did Dursu Uzala win an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film?
1972.
Guess again?
Yeah.
1975.
It's right. Absolutely right. 1975. Which actor plays Russian explorer Vladimir Arseniev? Arseniev.
Is it Oleg...
Deripaska.
Deripaska.
No, it's not. It's Yuri Solomon.
Is it Yuri Solomon?
Yes, it is Yuri Solomon, absolutely right. Who directed the original 1961 Soviet version of Dursu Uzala?
No, you've got me. I'm not an expert on
anything to do with story. It. It's Agassi Babayan.
Oh, God, what? Yes! What? God, I could kill myself. Get that axe!
What happened to Dursu's wife, son and daughter?
They all died in a plague. I'm not sure if it's cholera or something, or some kind of illness, influenza or something.
They all died of smallpox.
I think
smallpox.
We can give him that, don't you?
A plague.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think
it's in subtitles,
How? I've just started that question, and it's a great question. How tall was director Akira Kurosawa?
How tall? Well, if you put on
roughly,
I would say probably about 5'8". 5'4".
The answer isn't, because the answer is that he was 6 foot and a half an inch.
I think that was close enough, though.
5'4"? Yeah. That's within the parameters of human size.
It was close enough.
5'4" is nowhere near 6'1".
It's a preposterous subject, and it's a preposterous question.
Yes.
I'm going to give him the mark.
Okay, fine.
I think you did very well.
You're
the
quiz master.
Yeah, that's very good. Give us the scores, Mark.
Well, after that ridiculous bit of cheating, the Grinch have 15. Okay. Bad Santas are still at the moment on 16.
OK, so let's do another specialist round, and waiting bravely to go is Eddie Marsden. Eddie, you've recently graced our screens as the snorting Panks in Little Dorrit. Before you give us your subject area here, just the snorting and all that came from what? I mean, what was that?
It came from Dickens. Dickens described Panks as having an array of different snorts to describe different situations. But what we decided in Little Dorrit was whenever Panks wanted to say something that you couldn't say on primetime television, I just did a snort.
So you have different snorts for different inappropriate swearing words?
Yeah, basically.
Give us an example. That's quite...
That's a good snort.
I know what that swear word was.
You do. That was fiddlesticks, wasn't it?
And what's the very worst snort for the very worst word?
That was it.
Oh, that was it. You give us a light-hearted, jovial one for, bother or something like that. That's good. That's really
it's not a performing snort monkey. I used to make Matthew McFadden laugh because I can do an impression of a bulldog. I have this theory that a bulldog cannot breathe and hear at the same time in hot weather.
This is an interesting theory.
It's true. You watch a bulldog in hot weather, it goes like this, and it wants to hear something, it goes...
That's very good.
And you're in 39 Steps? Coming
yes,
up on Sunday.
39 Steps.
What are you in there?
I play Scudder, the bloke who starts it all off.
Does he snort at all?
No, he doesn't.
Does he have any sound effects or
no, he,
dog
he
impressions?
He breathes heavily because he runs. The whole thing was me running for days and
breathing
days.
Breathing effects were quite big in 2008 for you then.
They were. They were really big. They were really big, yeah.
What is your specialist round, Eddie?
Breathing.
Breathing.
Different breathing styles through the centuries.
Yes. Enchanted.
Well, why have you chosen that then?
Because it's all I watch. I've got three kids under the age of four, and every night I say, what do you want to watch? Do you want to watch Daddy in this, that, or the other? And they say, no, we want to watch Enchanted.
How many of your programmes and movies could they actually watch at that age?
Very few. They could watch 66, that's about it, really.
But they wouldn't enjoy it, would they?
They wouldn't. They
because
wouldn't.
It's a little bit beyond them.
Yeah,
they you'd be saying, now, look, can you just explain what happened? 1966, World Cup.
Yeah, Daddy has OCD, and then they lost.
So you think you know Enchanted pretty well, then? How many
Not
times
bad.
Have you seen it, do you think?
Oh, about 30 times, probably.
When was the last time you saw it?
Last night.
Right, OK. So,
breathing effect.
Specialist subject then for Eddie Marsden. We've got about a minute on questions from Enchanted. Here we go with that noise. Giselle has an animal friend called Pip. What type of animal is he?
He's a chipmunk.
Yes. The film is set in two places. Which are they?
New York.
And?
Disneyland. Or some cartoon place.
Yeah, cartoon place and a lazier. Yeah. When Giselle sings as she's doing housework in New York, which animals come to see her?
Name any three.
Pigeon, cockroach and rats.
Well yes, done. That'll do. What do the rats use to clean the toilet?
Toothbrushes.
Well done.
Can you name the three songs in the film?
No, can you name three songs from the film?
The morning clean-up song. How do you know she loves you? I don't know what they're called, but I know how to sing.
Well, I've got True Love's Kiss, Happy Working Song, yeah, and That's How You Know.
Yeah, That's How You Know. Yeah, True Love's yeah, Kiss right. is the one they sing.
Yeah, okay.
Are you giving him that?
Yeah, of course. Can you sing any of those for an extra point?
I've been dreaming of a true love.
The song That's How You Know is sung in which New York location?
Central Park.
It's a park, yeah.
Dev, you're on!
Dev, you're on, mate.
What is the name of the evil queen as played by Susan Sarandon?
I don't know. My kids just...
That was good.
The Witchy. That's what my kids call her.
The Witchy?
The Witchy.
No, I don't think you get points for it. It's nah. Queen Nerissa.
Ah, right.
Oh, man, Nerissa, but what a heavy scoring round that was. Enchanted's a good film, though, isn't
Enchanted
it?
Is a wonderful film. Can I just say that due to your rather esoteric granting of points there, Eddie stormed away with 7 points in that round.
That's very like good. More than we got all almost together.
Yeah.
Just shows you what's watching it.
Which brings the total to what?
Team Grinch on 15, Team Santa on 23.
Oh, come on, Dev. Very
good. Come on, Dev.
Dev, you're a film star. We're still winning this.
Some more questions about Dev. The answer is yes.
All right, you might be a film star soon.
Dev, where were you born?
I was born in Northwick Clark Hospital.
Well done. What team do you support?
I don't like football.
It's the correct answer. 17 Yay. Points. And 17 plays 23.
How regularly were you naked in the last series of Skins?
All the time.
Yeah. That's how embarrassed 18. Was it watching it with your parents?
Mortifying.
19.
Okay. Very good. Think of another question.
Now, 19 plays 23 at the moment. A bit of a nail-biter.
Okay, so all of that brings us to a very nail-biting point, because it's the last round, and it's famous lines. And Mark has already showed us that he can play assorted musical instruments. Now he's going to show us that he can act. He is going to perform, with occasional feeling, some classic lines from famous movies. You buzz if you know the film, and you get an extra point for the actor or actors. Okay? Mm-hmm. But be warned, because thrown into this mix will be bogus film lines and misquotes. If you can spot that they're bogus, you'll get extra points, and if you don't, you lose one.
Okay.
So really, really all to play for.
And remind us, it's what we win if we win.
I can't do it. It's too much pressure. I've got to go. It's too much pressure.
Is it £1 million?
I'm sorry, have a nice Christmas.
You win a copy of Sean's video.
Sean Lock's DVD, which is packed full of extras.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Fingers on buzzers then for this round. So, Mark, over to you.
Frankly, my dear, I don't...
That's Richard.
It's Gone with the Wind.
Well done.
By Rhett Butler or Clark Gable.
And do you know why he says I don't give a damn as opposed to I don't give a damn?
Well, you didn't finish the line.
Well, the line I thought was sort of... It was, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
But he emphasises...
He does the give rather than the damn because that was how they got it through the sentences.
Right. Next one.
Is it raining? I hadn't noticed.
Richard again.
It's Four Weddings and a Funeral. Well, it's Andy McDowell.
Well done. 2 points.
That was voted one of the worst film lines of all time and one of the cheesiest.
I think it was voted the worst film line of all time recently. OK?
Well, don't correct me in front of our guests.
I'll correct you afterwards.
Next one. Yeah. Play it again, Sam. Eddie.
Casablanca.
It's not. No. It's not. It's a bogus line. He never said that. Well, said, play it, Sam. Play it.
Do they get an extra point?
Yeah.
Eddie loses one.
Point, sorry.
You lost points because you didn't say it was a misquote. What should it really be?
Well, play it, Sam. He never says play it again, Sam. Yeah. It's never said.
Yeah, I did. I got that right.
Well done. Thank you. 21 plays 25. Still neck and neck.
Feels good.
Sorry. Okay, next one. We're going to need a bigger boat. Richard.
It's Jaws.
Well done.
I guess it's Roy Scheider, is it?
Yes. And that's Roy Scheider says it, having seen the size of the shark. He says, we're going to need a bigger boat.
That's very clear.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Here's another classic line.
You dirty rat, you killed my brother.
And that's Sean.
It's not Jimmy Cagney.
Well done.
It doesn't matter which film it's not from.
No, it's not, because he never says it. Well done.
What does he actually say in Blonde Crazy, 1931?
He goes, Betty.
Here's another one.
Okay.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli. It's obviously from a...
That's Goodfellas. Eddie.
Goodfellas, and Joe Pesci says it to Samuel L. Jackson.
No. Film. Apparently it's your favourite film.
Godfather.
Well done.
Is it The Godfather?
It's The Godfather, yes.
Leave the gun and take the cannoli. Take the cannoli. Was it Luca Brasi?
Peter Clemenza. Peter S. Castellano to Rocco, who just killed Paulie in the car.
Cool.
Well, we're now terrifyingly on 23 plays 25 by my scoring system.
Okay,
so
it's getting very close. We're in the lead. Now.
Okay.
In your dream.
Here comes another one.
A relationship, I think it's like a shark, you know. It's got to constantly move forward. Or
Sean.
Well, that'd be Woody Allen. It's Annie Hall.
Well done. Yeah. It is. Very good.
Woody Allen to Diane Keaton in 1977.
Moving swiftly on.
Here's another one.
Get off your horse. Richard.
That's not said by John Wayne.
Well done. It was never said by John Wayne. Okay.
Next one.
No Bones.
Oh, it's
Richard.
It's Spinal Tap.
Well done. Well done.
I hope you got a line from Dirty
Zala. People at this stage are just stunned by the variety of accents you've got. Here we go.
Okay. And are there two G's in Bugger Off?
Richard.
It's Mrs. Doubtfire, played by Robin Williams.
No, but...
Is it from... what's the Whiskey Glow?
Is it Shrek? Is it Mike Myers?
No, Shrek? And oddly enough, there's no connection between it and Shrek whatsoever.
Here's a clue. It's the second best film ever made.
Is it On the Buses?
No.
Local Hero.
Yay! Well done, Eddie.
A townsman asks Gideon if there are two L's in dollar, and he replies...
And are there two G's in Bugger Off?
I'm going to do this.
You're going to do this one because you do this one better than me, unlike all the other ones, which I do better than you.
Okay. Marriage.
Let's do that again.
Marriage.
Marriage.
Clue.
People. Oh, no. What? We're out of time. Come on, that's obvious. We've got to do this. Marriage. Marriage.
Lord of the Rings.
Come on,
it's got a romantic version.
Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
Oh, I know. It's Four Weddings and a Funeral.
No.
It's Peter Cook, who is being a priest in The Princess Bride. Oh, I'm very disappointed that you didn't get Marriage. Anyway, we're at the end of the game because that's what that entertaining gong meant. So here comes the nail-biting moment. Mark, the final scores, please.
Well, it became very close in that final round, but Team Grinch rocketed up to 25 points, but still in the lead with 29 points. The winners are the Bad Santas.
So well done to Richard and well done to Eddie. Commiserations to Dev and to Sean.
Thank you.
Just before we go, Mark Kermode's going to be playing us out with one more soundtrack on the bagpipes. Thanks to our contestants, Dev Patel and Sean Locke, who's got a very good DVD out at the moment. Richard Herring and Eddie Marson. They've been the Bad Santas. The other team were Team Grinch. Thanks very much indeed for listening. Wish you a splendid Christmas. We're going to leave you with another bagpipe classic. Here it comes. What is this going to be? It's Local Hero, isn't it? You spoiled it.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live